You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to kuci.org. Hi, I'm Tina Spindler, and I'm here with Katrina Kirkaby, and we are your hosts for In the Garden with UC Master Gardeners. And goodness, Katrina, it's December, the end of the year.
Did that go fast or what?
It goes faster every year. My goodness. But we have so many fun things to talk about today because it is a very fun time of year. The holidays are upon us. And although for me, I don't know about you, it means I don't get to spend a whole lot of time gardening. I do end up using a lot of stuff from the garden. So how about you? You do a lot of gardening this time of year?
No. And I'm really, really happy because things aren't growing so fast. It gives you a breather if you can't go visit your yard for a while.
Yeah.
It's forgiving. So shorter days, cooler times. It's just a good time for it to be like that.
Exactly. And we want to spend this month doing things with our families and our friends. So let's not feel guilty about ignoring our gardens this month. We'll just talk a little bit about things you might really need to do, particularly if you have a veggie garden, right? Because you don't want to ignore those for a whole month.
Oh, absolutely. I love my veggie gardens. Winter crops are great.
Yeah, we don't ignore ours because we're forever eating out of them. So we'll talk about that first, okay? So we can get that out of the way and move on to some of the fun holiday projects.
I love winter gardens. Winter gardens are just wonderful. I mean, winter vegetable gardens. Because we could get so many good things out of them, and it's so easy, and it just doesn't seem to take as much time in the wintertime.
Yeah, so what did you plant that you're going to be harvesting in December?
Oh, my goodness, we got greens. Oh, I'm trying to think. We have greens going, lots of green growing. We planted broccoli and cauliflower, and we planted carrots and sweet peas, and we just got a whole bunch of stuff going. And we tend to plant, like, every 2 weeks.
That's a great idea.
A lot of our stuff. So yeah. We try to get staggered crops.
That's a great idea, especially with like peas, because I know it's just my husband and I now. And if I plant, you know, a 10-foot row of peas, there's no way we're going to be able to eat all those peas. So I generally plant like 4 feet and then wait a few weeks and then plant another 4-foot row of peas. And that way we have them continuing on as one 4-foot row pops and poops out, then we move on to the next one, and we keep having a great harvest for months and months.
We've learned our lesson. I mean, I think one time we planted like 10 cauliflower at the same time and 10 cabbage, and it's like, you can't eat all that at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
So we stagger a lot.
Yeah. So if you didn't get to plant a cool season veggie garden, you can still do it in December if you've got the time. Plant any of those plants that Katrina mentioned.
Kale.
Which is Katrina and my new favorite for the last couple of years. And if you did plant it, you're probably going to be able to be harvesting in December if you plant it in October, early November, because especially with the leafy greens, the spinach, the lettuce, the kale, what you do is you harvest those outer leaves and just use those collection of outer leaves in your salads, and you leave the rest of the plant to continue growing so that you have those greens for, 4 months, or in the case of kale, maybe a whole year, because kale just seems to go on and on and on.
I've had kale for a year longer, so kale just keeps going.
Yeah, kale won't quit, which is good. And then the other thing you can do if you are planting is do make sure when you plant that you prepare your soil by adding organic amendments and fertilizer at the time of planting, an organic fertilizer for vegetables. And if you did plant in October, as we were encouraging you to do back then, it might be time to give your veggie garden a little boost of nutrition. And in the wintertime, I like to use a liquid organic fertilizer that you can just put and attach to your hose in a hose end sprayer, because the foliar feeding and the root feeding that happens when that liquid fertilizer soaks into the soil is immediately available to the plants. In winter, as the cold weather comes and our soils cool down, the good bacteria and organisms in the soil slow down because of the cold weather, and you need those to often break down the nutrients in fertilizer so that they're available for the plant to uptake. But the liquid fertilizers, because they can also be absorbed by the leaves, sometimes I think, in my experience anyway, give those leafy green plants a bit of a boost a little more quickly than the granular fertilizers. But you can also, what's called, side dress your veggies with the granular fertilizers, which just means pouring a little bit of it, according to the package directions, on the rows, spaces in between the rows of your lettuce or cabbage or whatever it is you're growing, and then just lightly scratch it in with a cultivating, you know, tool, and water it in well, as always, whenever you apply fertilizer. So yeah, if you haven't planted, still can plant. And if you planted a couple months ago, give those plants a little bit of food.
And if you haven't planted, you could buy those six packs. You know, it gives you a head start, and then you can do some seed later if you want to, or do some seed at the same time. But the six packs.
There you go. Woo. Tongue twister.
It work out really handy, especially if you're busy and you got a lot of stuff going on and you just want to plant a few of one thing. You can just go and stick those in there, and you got a head start going on in December.
Absolutely. So yeah. So don't ignore your veggie garden. You know, keep an eye on it. If for no other reason, there's not a huge amount of pest activity this time of year, but you always want to keep an eye out for any pest activity.
And depending on how much rain we get, you know, water accordingly.
Absolutely, because sometimes December's wet and sometimes it's still dry as a bone. So,
and if you have new little plants in there, it's going to want a little bit of water.
Yeah, and especially if we get one of those weird, you know, hot couple of days. So keep an eye on your veggie garden. And best of all, you're going to maybe be doing a lot of cooking. So you want to be out in that veggie garden. Let's talk about herbs a little bit next. Because what a great time of year to be utilizing your herb garden.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, gosh. You know, I love herbs. I just actually plant them in my flower garden outside my kitchen and my living room window. And I just go snip, 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 and it's easy. And if you haven't planted them yet, you could get those little packs and plant them in the ground. And a lot of times I don't use the whole herb, you know, like a lot at a time. But if I buy a little, like, 2x2 or whatever, a 3-inch pot, stick it in the ground, I can use what I need.
Exactly. I hate buying those plastic containers in the supermarket. I mean, it's nice if you don't have it growing in your yard, but they end up always just getting slimy because I only use a little bit, and then the rest of it I have to throw away.
You know, so, even if I'm thinking, if I don't have that herb and I got to go buy it in that little plastic container, I will just go buy a little 2-inch or 3-inch and stick it in the ground because I could use a little now and I can use a little tomorrow and next week and the following
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. You know, sage is one of my favorite things, and parsley and cilantro. Instead of getting, you know, that little tiny plastic container at the supermarket for $3 or $4, the cost of a 4-inch herb is about the same, about $3.
And it keeps it for you. If you're having a party this week or doing something next week, you have fresh herbs.
Yeah.
I also like oregano this time of year, too. I use a lot of oregano.
And thyme. I use thyme all year long. So let's talk a little bit about what herbs are especially good for this time of year. Of course, you know, if you're going to be doing a turkey over the holidays, love to have some fresh sage, but fresh thyme is also wonderful with any kind of poultry. And parsley, Italian parsley, goes, I think, with anything.
All year long.
So any kind of dressing, any kind of dip, any kind of soup, meat, vegetables. Think about your holiday side dishes and get them a little bit more exciting by chopping up some fresh herbs. Rosemary is wonderful on our poultry. So you can even, you know, instead of doing your traditional sage dressing, I do a wonderful dressing that has marjoram in it instead. And it's just, you know, it's different than the sage, but super tasty and, you know, really fun to have something a little bit different than the traditional, you know, sage. Although that's wonderful too if your family is hooked on that traditional dinner.
You know, you could also look at this time of month thinking, what am I going to need later in the month? And just go to the store and buy a bunch of little packy, you know, 2-inch containers of how much ever you're going to use, and stick them in the ground, and you'll have them in a few weeks when you really need them, and they've grown a bit.
Yeah, or better yet, I do love those smaller ones because they make fabulous hostess gifts. If you then get a, you know, little 6-inch pot and you have maybe 3 to 4 of those, you know, 2-inch herbs, and you plant them in a little pot, and you are going to go to someone's home for dinner, tie a ribbon around it, maybe pick your favorite recipe that uses those herbs. Say you got a parsley and a thyme and a sage. Maybe you have a recipe that uses those three herbs. Write out that recipe, punch some holes with a single hole punch in the top of the card and the bottom of the card, thread the card on a bamboo skewer, stick it in the pot, tie a ribbon around the pot, and you have a very welcome hostess gift that you can take with you.
You know, also, if you look ahead, you can think of all the different things you're going to do through the holidays. You know, you got presents for the kids' teachers, you got this person and that person, and you can actually go ahead and make a bunch of them at one time.
Oh, that's smarter, way smarter, yeah.
Just make a bunch of them at one time.
Get a dozen pots.
Get a dozen little pots.
No, but
whatever you need.
Katrina, honestly, what's better about that is some herbs come in 6-packs. So some of the common herbs like the Italian parsley and cilantro, you can buy in 6-packs, and you know, that's way cheaper than buying individual, you know, 2-inch plants, right? Mm-hmm. So do that. Get a couple of 6-packs and then make a whole bunch at once. Have them all ready.
And then if you do that, it gives it a little bit of time for them to grow, too.
Yeah.
You know, so if you take care of them for a couple of weeks, they're starting to,
like that idea.
And then you, as you go, you could just grab it one at a time and just put ribbons on them all or whatever you want to do.
So this afternoon, everybody has to go get the herbs and the pots and the ribbons.
Well, I'm going to
make up an assembly line and get your kids involved. How fun if the kids did that and they gave them to their coach or their teacher or, you know, their dance teacher or whatever.
Or people at the office or your hairdresser or whomever.
That's taking it another step further.
All these little gifts that you give during the year.
Yeah.
You know, these are, and you give them now, maybe give it a little early.
Yeah.
And they will have for the holidays.
Yeah. I like that.
Wow, I think I'm going to do it when I get home.
Yeah, exactly. I'm inspired. How many do I need? 4 dozen. No. But yeah, no, that's a great idea. Yeah. So
we motivate ourselves. Can
we
you
do,
tell that?
We do, exactly.
So many times when we're done with the show, I go home and go, okay, what am I going to do now?
Or we stop on the way at the nursery and get stuff. The other thing you can do, though, if you have fresh herbs growing already in the garden, like Katrina and I do, is I like to make little dried herb packets. So if you go out and you harvest some of your rosemary and your sage and your whatever, thyme, marjoram, whatever you have, and then you can lay them out on cookie sheets, put them in a super, super low oven, or if you have a pilot light in your oven, that works too, and you let trays of those dry, or if you have a dehydrator, you can do it in dehydrator. And then what I like to do, again, is I find my favorite recipes, like I have a great dill dip that I love to make, and you go ahead and measure out the quantity that you need, you know, for a single dill dip recipe, and then you can get, you know, really cute in the stores these days, you know, they have the cute little cellophane bags, right? And so you can put the measured out amount, or you can put a whole bunch and just say you need 2 tablespoons, you know, of this mixture of parsley and dill and, you know, thyme, whatever it is that goes in your recipe. And you then tie that little cellophane bag with a ribbon, put the little recipe on a card that you also tie to the bag, and then those are great to have as party favors or hostess gifts to give as well. So if you're looking to do some inexpensive, you know, gifts from the garden that folks can use, and, you know, then all they have to do is buy a package of sour cream and dump, you know, 2-3 tablespoons of your mixture in there, and wouldn't a hostess love that? Instant appetizer, you know, with serve with some veggies or potato chips and done.
Done.
Yeah.
We need a lot of those things at this time of year.
We do. We do. And, you know, your friends will appreciate having that instant.
It came from her garden.
Yeah, an instant recipe and an instant kit to make an appetizer. So, yeah. So what else can we do for gifts from the garden, since we're kind of on that bent? We talked last month about forcing the narcissus and the amaryllis bulbs and giving those as hostess gifts, because they should be blooming sometime in December. If you didn't get a chance to start them in November, though, don't think that you can't give them as gifts still. And often I find, you know, towards the middle of December, those bulb kits get discounted, you know, at the stores and the nurseries because, you know, they're like, oh, we got to get rid of some of this holiday stuff. But how fun is it to still give that as a gift, all planted up in a pot? And even though it won't be blooming when you give it, it will be the gift that keeps on giving. You know?
You know, you're absolutely right. I have amaryllis in my car right now because I didn't get around to it. And that's what I'm going to be doing today or tomorrow is planting up a couple of those because it might not be ready for Christmas, but, you know, in January when it's gloomy and nothing's blooming, you have this bright big amaryllis, and if you've given it as a gift, that person's going to be thinking about you in January when this thing's going off.
And I think in a way maybe it's better because, you know, we have so many decorations up in our house for Hanukkah or Christmas or New Year's or whatever holiday we're celebrating. But then, you know, we put it all away, right? And I always have a little bit of the holiday blues, you know. And the garden has a bit of the holiday blues because, you know, we prune our roses in January, right? So we've just got these bare sticks. And maybe there's not too much going on in the garden. And yet if somebody gave you one of these bulbs to have in your home, if that thing blooms in January, it just reminds you that, you know, there's good, exciting times ahead, you know,
it in perks the everything up. Yeah. You walk in and smile because I my house tends to be more of a monocolor, you know, in January. I don't have all the bright colors, and it is a letdown after the holidays.
Yeah.
With everything out and having something like that blooming in your house, and they're beautiful.
They are. They're really, really
gorgeous. There's our pitch for the...
Yeah, so if you see those bulbs, don't think you still can't plant them. Absolutely plant them. Give them as gifts or just keep them yourself so that your house is
and
pretty.
And what's fun, too, is people get them and they don't know what they are. And they'll look at this thing and go, thank you.
Yeah. I knew you were a crazy garden lady. Okay.
Okay, she's giving me this round, funny-looking thing, right? But then when it blooms, they're going, oh, I know they're a gardener now. How did they get that happen?
Well, and the cool thing is...
And they get to watch it happen.
They get to watch it. But what's really awesome is they'll feel that they kind of did it. Because when you gave it to them, it didn't look like much. But by them, you know, watering it and taking care of it, they'll have that sense of, hey, maybe I have a green thumb after all, you know? So.
And they're real easy to do. Most of them, they'll have directions on how to do it. And just go have fun.
Yeah. And then another gift from the garden that I give every holiday season is homemade jam. And Katrina is doing some fermenting. Are you going to give some of your fermented stuff as gifts at Christmas time?
You know, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I just...
Tell us what you're fermenting.
I'm making... I always ferment. I'm making kombucha right now. I do always...
Tell people what kombucha is in case they don't know.
Kombucha is kind of a... you start with sweet tea and this thing called a SCOBY, and it turns the chain. Oh, it's a long story.
Yeah, but basically, it's a fermented beverage.
It's a fermented beverage which has a lot of really good things in it. And if you're ever interested, Google Orange County Master Food Preservers. We have classes on how to do that, and it's a fun thing to do, and it's easy to do. And I my husband loves this stuff.
Well, it's supposed to be really good for you. Good for your gut, right?
It's really good for your gut.
Yeah.
And I do, like, you know, 2 to 5 gallons at a time.
Wow.
And it's very inexpensive. It's just the cost of a little bit of sugar and some tea, and you have this wonderful beverage.
Wow.
So I hadn't even thought about that because I'm putting in these really pretty bottles.
Yeah.
I've only been sharing it with ourselves, so it might be...
I think you should, you know, introduce other folks to it, you know, just as a little hostess gift or, you know,
you
something like that. But okay. What I do is I make jam because I have, you know, fruit trees, and we've talked about this before, and boysenberry vines. And so I love to make homemade jam, and it's a really great gift to give because most people don't make jam, even though it's really stupidly easy. All you have to do is stir. But again, you can go to the UC Master Food Preserver website. They will have some information on making homemade jam if you've never done it before. But it's a great way if you had a bumper crop, say, of peaches, and you couldn't use them all in the summer. So like I do, it's so darn hot in the summer, I just freeze them all. And then as the weather cools off, I make jam. So in early December or November or whenever, I get out that frozen fruit and I turn it into jam, and then I have these wonderful gifts to give at Christmas time.
And you can put pretty bows on them
and
decorate them. And
yeah. And in fact, I get requests from people, you know, it's like, I didn't get any jam yet. Am I going to get jam for Christmas this year? You know, so people will come to expect it, especially the boysenberry jam. That seems to be the hit.
I'm impressed. Boysenberry jam,
yeah,
Tina.
Yeah. Wow. Of course, the boysenberry plants are a nightmare, but that's another story.
But, you know, it all depends on how much time you have in the holidays.
Exactly.
You know, so it's kind of pick and choose. You know, if you have time, do it. If you don't, I mean, there's wonderful projects to do out of your garden to the holidays. And if you don't have a lot of time, you don't even worry about it.
No. And
but there's some simple ones that don't take very much time.
Just as we said, the potting up of the herbs, another one that just came into my mind that I like to do when we're having people over is for your napkins. Instead of, you know, worrying about a fancy place setting, I go out in the garden, I snip a bunch of rosemary, you know, which has those nice sturdy stems. And when I make the roll up the napkins, I tie them with a piece of holiday ribbon and just stick a sprig of rosemary in. That's it.
How because simple is that?
The rosemary won't wilt. You know, if you try to do that with parsley or cilantro or something, of course it's going to wilt because it wants to be in water or used right away. But the rosemary, because it's a woody plant, will keep its shape for, you know, a number of hours. And so just, you know, a piece of, and you can use up all those short pieces of holiday ribbon, right? Because mm-hmm. it's kind of fun to have, you know, each person has a different color ribbon or, you know, pattern or whatever. So that's also kind of festive to have assorted, you know, ribbons around the table. But like I said, just shove a sprig of rosemary under that ribbon after you tie up the napkin.
It smells so good.
It smells so good. And then when people undo it, they just leave the rosemary on their plate. So it continues to kind of enhance your eating experience by sitting on your plate and lending its aroma.
That was a great idea, Tina. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. That was a good idea. You know, my rosemary grows like crazy, too.
Oh, it does. And in California, we use it as a landscape plant, so it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. I always have a rosemary plant growing. I let one get too big, and I had to take it out because it took over. But it took a number of years to do that and a number of years of neglect.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I have one that's much more manageable. And what you're saying is, it doesn't take up that much room. That would be such a nice thing, winter dinner.
And if you don't have any, you look in your neighborhood. I guarantee you, somebody you know on your block has scads of rosemary shrubs that are maybe even trimmed into a hedge. And if you go knock on their door and say, hey, can I, you know, take 8 sprigs of rosemary from your hedge over there? I'm sure they would not mind if you did.
A great idea. Great idea.
Yeah.
Many things from the garden. You know, this time we're still harvesting from the garden too, so it's time to get, you know, get our vegetables out and have some of those for dinner.
Absolutely. Whatever's left, you know, and it depends on the year. I mean, I think this year I may even have tomatoes still at Christmas because I still got a couple of tomato plants in the garden that have green tomatoes because it's been such a warm fall. That brag to your East Coast relatives. Make a bruschetta or some other fresh tomato dish. Take a picture of it. Post it on Facebook. Say, nanner, nanner, I'm eating tomatoes. I'm serving, you know, tomatoes for dinner at Christmas time fresh from my garden. And that will make all your East Coast relatives really jealous.
You know, we are very fortunate here. I was up in Idaho. And I didn't realize you can't really get fresh food, fresh vegetables because it's not that time of year.
Yeah.
And I am so spoiled by having things here.
Yeah, we really are. I mean, of course you can, you know, the world is a small place, so we get imported things from, you know, Chile, whose, you know, summer is the opposite of ours. So you can usually find things, but they're not the same as having them fresh from your backyard. So yeah, use whatever's out in your garden for your holiday meals. It'll give you something to brag about, and your guests will be impressed. And if nothing else, go steal herbs from your neighbor's garden and use those.
Tina,
ask permission first.
We're not recommending that.
Yeah.
We're kind of facetiously saying
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. I meant steal in the nicest way. Steal with permission. It is almost time for us to give a little station ID. And before I do that, you know, I don't think I've given anybody today the news about our new web address. Yeah. So maybe I should do that right now. We have a new Master Gardener web address, which is MG Orange. So M for Master, G for Gardener, mgorange.ucanr.edu. And in case you're wondering what UCANR stands for, because I know you were wondering, Katrina, what that stands for.
Tina, tell me, what does it stand for, Tina?
It stands for University of California Agriculture and Natural Resource Division. And that's the part of the University of California that Master Gardeners are housed under. So we're actually using our official UC initials for part of our web address, which I think is very cool.
And if you can't remember that, just Google UC
Master Gardeners
of Orange County, California.
Yeah, and it'll pop up. But the other thing we do want to let you know is that if you have questions, we as Master Gardeners love to answer questions, and we have a whole group of Master Gardeners devoted to answering questions from our hotline. So if you want to email us a question or a photo of some problem or plant ID that you are looking to identify, you can email us at hotline, H-O-T-L-I-N-E, at mgorange.ucanr.edu. Or again, just Google University of California Master Gardeners in Orange County. It'll take you to, yeah, because there is an Orange County in Florida.
I think there's an Orange County in New York.
In New York, too.
There's several Orange counties.
So do say California, or you'll be emailing it to the wrong place. But, yeah, that'll take you to our website, which also has a link to our hotline, and you can email any questions that you have to our hotline. And so with that, I'm going to finish up our housekeeping and let you know that the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to kuci.org. And also, you are listening to Katrina and Tina on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
Thank you, Tina.
So let's move on. I think we've covered probably the garden to table thing pretty thoroughly.
How about California natives?
Sure.
Is it a good time to start planting some of those?
One of the best. So we, in our November show, talked a little more about that. And also in November, if you didn't listen to it, we had a talk with our friends at Rogers Gardens about California natives. So you can listen to the podcast about that show to get more details. This time, because we have so much we want to cover, we'll just say that December is one of the best months to plant California natives. And we talked about the advantages of planting in November and December, because you get to take advantage of the rains that we hopefully are going to get. And that really helps those natives get settled. Remember, in California, natives grow actively in the winter, and they're dormant in the summer. And so now is when we want to plant them, because they're really going to be actively growing in the winter, because that's when we get rains. So that's when they're used to growing a lot, is when we get those rains. And if you don't get around to it in December because it's too busy, January and February are also great months. And you can plant them through April, but they're much happier if you plant them in December or January.
You know, the babies just get a little bit stronger, and they just start producing better, and they're growing better, and you're giving them a good environment. So if you can do it this time of year, it's by far the best.
Right, it is. Speaking of natives, there's one of my favorite native gifts from the garden to give, and it's a fun one to do with kids. And that's seed bombs. I've talked about this in the past. It's just a really fun thing to do with kids, and it makes a great gift also. It's from the garden to the garden, actually, because what you do is you buy some clay. Crayola brand makes a brand of clay that you can get at a craft store or, you know, Michael's, one of those places. And then you get big packets of wildflower seeds. Native wildflowers are, you know, best for here. California poppies are one of my favorites. But you can also do some other cool season seeds that aren't wildflowers. Bachelor buttons, alyssum's a good one. Anything that kind of sprouts easily on its own. And what you do is you take that clay and you get some potting mix also. And you mix equal parts of the potting mix and the clay together. And this is a real gooey project. You have to get a big bowl or a bucket. You have to add a little bit of water at a time till it gets to a consistency where it all mixes together. And then you take handfuls of it out, put it in a smaller bowl, and then sprinkle some of the seeds in that mixture. Mix it all up, and then you make like meatballs out of your clay mess and roll it into like one, I like to do 1-inch little meatball size balls, and then you put them on a cookie sheet and you let them sit out for a day or two until they're completely dry, and then you can put them in little cellophane bags, tie them with a ribbon, and what those are seed bombs that you can give to friends, families, teachers. And what you do is you take them and you just chuck them in the garden, and then as the rain or the sprinklers hit that little ball, it starts to dissolve and those seeds get planted in your garden. And it's just a blast for, you know, kids to do and for people to receive and plant.
So do you just drop one in the garden or do you have it explode in the garden?
No, it doesn't explode because remember it's dried. So now mm-hmm. it's kind of hard, you know, like a dirt clod, mm-hmm. right? You know how mm-hmm. when dirt clods get hard, they're almost a little rock-like, you know, you almost have to crunch them to get them to, you know, to dissolve into the soil particles. These are a little softer because they've been mixed with some potting soil. But basically, they're a solid thing that will just slowly dissolve as the sprinklers or rainwater hits. And so if you do it with poppy seeds, for instance, and you toss it in little open spaces in your garden, sunny open spaces for the poppies, then as the rain and the sprinklers hit it, they'll slowly dissolve and those seeds will germinate and hopefully you'll have wildflowers.
How fun is that?
Another fun gift to yeah, make and
if you
give.
Can keep them away from the kids sometimes. Let the kids know that the bombs aren't meant to be thrown at
True.
People or
you,
things.
You do have to supervise how these bombs are, you know, distributed. But
first time Tina told me about it, I had this vision of how good is her arm.
Yeah, and these little kids, you know, creaming each other, you know, and bouncing them off one another's heads. But actually, you can throw them. It's kind of fun. It's a stress reliever. I actually like, you know, Katrina knows I have a slope in my backyard that's planted with natives, and so I like to make the seed bombs, and I just literally haul off and chuck them as far as I can so they land up on the slope wherever, and then the rain and the sprinklers, you know, let them dissolve, and then I get little chunks of poppies here and there on the slope.
Oh, how fun.
It is. It's pretty fun.
Fun. Simple to do, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All these little things from the garden. What else are you thinking about?
Well, I think we should talk about poinsettias, don't you?
It's the holiday time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have you ever had trouble with your poinsettias when you buy them? Or are you pretty fortunate with
them? I've been really fortunate.
That's good.
How about you?
I have because, you know, sometimes I get a little too budget conscious, right? And so I go to the big box retailers, which can have amazing poinsettias, don't get me wrong. But sometimes, you know, depending upon our weather, when they were shipped, if you don't check them out, you know how they come in those little mm-hmm. cones, right? And if you don't peer inside, when you get it home, you might notice when you take that cellophane sleeve off that there's a lot of leaves that have fallen, those green leaves have almost all fallen off.
Oh, really?
You know, into the bottom of the pot, and yeah, the red part may still look nice, but
well,
let
the leaves
me tell
are
you,
so pretty when they're
if you don't have the green leaves firmly attached to the stem when you buy it, it means your poinsettia's on its way out, and it means it may not last as long as you might have
liked
it.
So check it out before you put it in your cart.
So that's my advice is, first of all, wherever you go to buy your poinsettias, check if they're especially if they're in those cellophane sleeves. gently slide that sleeve down a little way so that you can see those green leaves that are underneath the red leaves. And make sure that those green leaves are firmly attached. And, you know, it's okay if one or two have fallen, but if you're seeing, you know, a big puddle of leaves that have fallen off and, you know, yellowing, you know, move on to a different plant or maybe even a different store if they are not in good condition. Because you do not want to have those be already on their way out when you're buying them. It might even be better to spend a little bit more money and go to a store that's taking a little bit better care of
You know, there's
them.
Such an easy thing. You just go and buy and it livens up your...
Everybody has them, you know.
Everybody's got them and they make a big bang for the buck.
Yeah.
And you can give them as presents. You could put them in your house. You're in a hurry. Go get a couple of those things. Put them at your front doorstep.
I use them to decorate my house, and they are inexpensive. I prefer them to, you know, artificial plants. And so I love them. But I'm going to tell you a way to have better luck with them staying alive. And the first thing to do is they often come with those foil wrappers around the pot in, you know, red or gold, beautiful foil wrappers. They look really pretty, and so you might be tempted to leave the pot sitting in that foil wrapper. Do not leave the pot sitting in the foil wrapper, because that foil wrapper acts as a trap for water. And so you do have to water these poinsettias because they are living plants. And when you water them and you leave that foil wrapper on, the water congregates in that foil. And what poinsettias do not like is they do not like wet feet. They like to be kept moist, but they don't want to be sitting in, you know, standing water. So when you keep that foil wrapper on and you're trapping that water, then the little hole in the pot is continually sucking that water into the root area of the pot, which means those roots are going to stay wet. And over time, they are not going to like that.
Now, Tina, could you just cut a hole in the bottom and let
you
it drain?
You could. If you want to keep the foil wrapper because you're using it as part of your decoration, absolutely cut a hole where the hole of the pot is so that water can still drain out.
Yeah. And then you could set it in another pot or do something.
Or a dish. Or
by itself.
A platter or a drip, those clear drip pans that are meant for plants.
Yeah. Put something under it
because you don't want to ruin your furniture or your countertops. But do be sure that you water your poinsettias regularly. They do not like to dry out. They'll start dropping their leaves. But do not water them too frequently. So the best thing to do is to use your finger and touch the surface of the soil. If it is wet, don't water it. If the surface feels dry, not poking your finger into the soil, but the surface feels dry, then go ahead and water it until the water runs out of the plant. But make sure that you are not letting it stand in that excess water. Pour that water out of the container or the tray that it's sitting in, and you'll have a very happy plant. The other thing you need to know to keep it happy is it doesn't like direct sun, and it doesn't like heat or cold. So in the daytime, it likes temperatures that are our house temperatures, oddly enough, so that's lovely. They like temperatures around 70 degrees, so, you know, 68 to 72, good daytime temps. And then at night, they like temps 60 to 65. So since we're all supposed to turn our thermostats down at night anyway to save energy, your poinsettias will love you for doing that as well.
Exactly. But you also have to watch if you don't want to put them by your heater vents.
No, I forgot about that. Good point. Yeah. So tell them why not to do that.
Cook some.
Yeah. So
how do I know that?
Oh, personal experience, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. You too?
So you may think you have this great place, but you haven't looked up to where your heat is coming out. And if that vent is directed right at your poor little poinsettia plant, it is not going to be happy. So make sure that you adjust your vent so that the, you know, warm air doesn't get directed right down on your poinsettia plant.
Yeah, if it's enough distance away, but you don't want something so close the plant can't handle it.
Yeah.
And Tina, tell us also about putting them. I know a lot of times they look, as you walk up to a house and you see these big, beautiful poinsettia plants, it just makes you smile and feel like the holidays.
It does.
But there's some precautions that
there
we
are. And the good news is that poinsettias are indigenous to Mexico. Well, we have in Southern California a climate that's similar to Mexico. So they can do well outside here, except if we get a bit of cold weather. They are frost sensitive, so you can put them outside, but if you hear that we're going to have temperatures that are dipping, you know, into the low 40s, that's getting dangerously close to, you know, frost temperatures. So if you watch the weather forecast and you see that, because this happened to me, I spent a fortune, because we were having my husband's Christmas party here, and I spent a fortune on those really big ones, the ones that are like 12-inch pots and, you know, the make huge. This gorgeous mound, right? And I put them in two beautiful terracotta, you know, urn-type things on either side of my front door, and they were gorgeous, and we get this
frost,
or close to frost, whatever, a couple days before the party, and went out, and the leaves are black of, you know, on the edges of my poor poinsettias. Not an attractive party decoration at all.
Welcome to my home, right? Yeah. Oh, dear. Plan B.
So they had to go in the backyard, hidden away.
And oh, yes, and my wife Tina is a master gardener, and yes. She's got these black plants as she come in the front door.
Yeah, a little distracted. So anyway, so the moral of that story is watch the temperature. If you're going to use them for outdoor decorations, watch the temperature every day, and bring them in your garage at night if the temperatures are going to get it to frost level, and then bring them out the next morning after you're sure that, you know, the daytime temperatures have warmed up a little bit.
Now, you don't have so much concern of that if you live close to the coast, but the farther inland you do, the more concern you have. So just, you know, take heed.
Yeah, and Katrina's in Orange, so she has more danger than I do. I'm in Irvine, but I'm still inland enough, and I live at the base of a hill, so the frost.
And I live at the top of the hill.
You know, so you have to just be aware of the weather if you're going to use them outside. But I did, for inside, want to give you a couple more hints about some really cool things that you can do with your poinsettias, because a single poinsettia is lovely, but a grouping of poinsettias is even lovelier. So one of the things I like to do is to get a large basket that'll hold 3 6-inch poinsettias, right?
Wow.
And so you get a basket that's maybe, 18 inches in diameter. And then I get one of the plastic pot water catcher bases that you can buy?
Usually clear.
The clear plastic. Mm-hmm. They only cost, the little ones only cost 50 cents, but the big ones are only a few dollars. So I get one of those big ones that will fit in the bottom of my basket. So if it's, you know, a 14-inch basket, I get a 14-inch one of those water things. And then I fill that thing with some of the styrofoam packing things. I don't know about you, but I actually save those. I put them in bags and I stuff them in a cupboard because there's so many cool uses for them. And so I fill those little popcorn styrofoam things in this clear tray that is sitting in the bottom of my basket. And the reason that I do that is when I put my 3 6-inch poinsettias in there, remember, they're not supposed to sit in water, right? Or they get, you know, root rot. So by having a thin layer of those styrofoam peanut things in that clear little tray, when I water those poinsettias, and you have to be careful, you don't want to water them, you know, so much that you're going to flood your tray, but I water them and then the water can go through and then it goes through the styrofoam and into the plastic saucer, and then my plants aren't sitting in water. Because, you know, once you make this arrangement, because I'm going to tell you the rest of the steps, I put those three in, and then I'll maybe get three little 3-inch ivies, you know, and I'll put those in between, you know, on the edges of that, and then I'll get some of the moss, and I'll put the moss all around the tops of the pots of the poinsettia and the pots of the ivy, and then you have this ivy draping over the edge, and these beautifully colored poinsettias, and the moss that's, you know, tying it all together, and I have this gorgeous arrangement. But the trouble is, when I water it, I can't see how much water I've put in. So that's why I put the styrofoam in the bottom, and then I just water it lightly with what I like to use is a turkey baster.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can just, you know, put the end of that turkey baster in next to the stem of the poinsettia, give it one little squeeze, do that to each of the plants, you know, so that just a little bit of water ends up being caught in that saucer. And I have this beautiful arrangement that I can put on my entryway table with be sure you put something waterproof under it just in case you overwater. So you do want to be careful. But then you have this gorgeous, spectacular arrangement like you might see at a florist, and it'll cost you a fraction of the cost because you made it yourself.
Very nice.
Yeah. And you don't have to use a round basket. On my dining room table, I have this oblong because, you know, my dining room table is rectangular and kind of long. So I have this oblong, actually it's a carved out wooden, looks like a dugout canoe, kind of weird looking. But I like it because it's long. And in that case, I put the 3 6-inch poinsettias, you know, side by side. And then I put the ivy or whatever I've decided to use, you know, in between, and do the same thing, but in an oblong container for my dining room table.
And you know, you could change it out from Thanksgiving to Christmas, right?
See, I do. I leave that container on my table all the time. And for Thanksgiving, I like to use chrysanthemums, you know, because you can choose the orange or yellow or whatever color. And but the ivy, or I also use pothos, because pothos is harder to kill than ivy. So I also use pothos. And so, but I do. So that's what I'll do. I'll pop out, you know, the chrysanthemums that are just about done blooming right now, and I'll pop in the poinsettias and have instant centerpiece.
And then you could pop that out after the holidays and pop something back in.
For Valentine's Day, I've done pink azaleas, you know, even at the grocery stores or Trader Joe's or different, you know, Home Depot, these other big box retailers. You can find just, you know, the little 3-inch or 4-inch or 6-inch azaleas. And if for Christmas, those are beautiful too, to mix azaleas, white azaleas with red poinsettias. Another beautiful combination.
Beautiful.
If you're going to do a big, you know, basket and you have enough room to mix in several different plants, you can, you know, red and white is a fabulous combination. So if you can find some azaleas that are blooming, pair that with the red poinsettias and some ivy, just beautiful.
You know what you're also talking about, Tina, is things that last for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not a bouquet of flowers that's going to be gone in a week or so. You're doing something that you could do it for a period of time and it lasts.
That's why I do this instead of I love cut flowers, but it does. You know, for the holidays, usually you have people coming in and out, right? You may be hosting a cocktail party one night. You may just have relatives coming in, and you kind of want your house to look, you know, good for, you know, 3 weeks or so, right? Or into New Year's. You don't want to have to be rushing out and getting fresh flowers, you know, every 4 days or so.
And you do this once, and you're done.
You're done.
You're done.
You know?
So think about that.
Yeah.
Busy schedules. Do it one time.
Exactly.
Take a little bit of time, an hour or so, and get it all done and be done with that for the holidays. And people ooh and ah for weeks.
And another idea as for a gift, you know, if you're going somewhere and you want to give someone a nice holiday gift, consider giving them not just a single poinsettia, but maybe make a little arrangement for them. If they're a really good friend.
Really good friend.
Or a relative that you like, you know. That
we all have one of those, and we could go there, but not on the air.
So another idea, though, for a fun, you know, garden type gift. Yeah.
Oh, man, there's so many fun things to do. I think we only have about 10-15 minutes left. There's a few more things we should probably cover. How about, let's talk a little bit about bare roots, and then let's go into fertilizing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we'll talk about bare roots a little bit now and a lot more next month. Because we're going to do a whole show on roses with your and my very good friend Kay Havens. So
tell everybody real quickly, what is bare roots?
Bare root is when you are able to find in the nurseries plants that have been dug up and they're not in soil. You buy them with their roots exposed. And the reason that we're able to do that is that some plants are deciduous, which means they go to sleep in the wintertime when it gets cold. And when they do that, they are dormant and they're not actively growing. And so growers are able to dig them up, shake the soil off their root, pack them usually in wood shavings or peat moss, and put them in a plastic wrap. And they sell them to you for about, I think it's, gosh, it seems like it's about half of what a potted plant costs, right? So if you were to buy a rose or a fruit tree in a pot, it usually costs about double what it will cost you if you buy it bare root. So if the bare root costs you $15, you know, when that plant is potted up for sale in February, it's probably going to cost you $30. So I love to plant bare root, A, for the price, but also the plants don't suffer any transplant shock because they're dormant. And so I love to do that because I think they get a better start.
Better start in life, so to speak, or in your garden.
In your garden. So the plants to look for bare root in December, the end of December is when they typically come in the nurseries through January. Sometimes the beginning of December, depends on your nursery. But they often don't get a lot of them in the beginning of December because everybody's focused on holiday stuff. So.
And I think we're telling you about this so you can start thinking about it. If you want to start looking things up on the internet and seeing what you want.
Or if you're, you know, if somebody says, oh, you know, make me a gift list of things you'd like to have, tell them, gift certificate for, you know, whatever your favorite nursery is that's going to carry bare root, you know, plants. And then you can use that gift certificate at the end of a December, January, even in the beginning of February, to buy trees like bare root trees that you would want to buy would be apples and peaches and apricots and plums. Those are all trees that are sold bare root that time of year. And the roses, of course, the selection of roses that are sold bare root are, you know, there's an infinite number of varieties. I have found, though, recently that not a lot of nurseries are selling bare root roses anymore. A few do, but there's a lot of online places where you can buy bare root roses. And so that's something you can Google, bare root roses, and you'll get taken to some of these wonderful websites that usually have fabulous pictures and lots of information about whatever, you know, rose you happen to be lusting after. And you can, you know, look at them and determine, you know, what's the right size for your space. Because, you know, roses come in miniatures all the way up to, you know, climbing roses. So you'll want to buy the right one for your space.
And you're going to be doing a show pretty soon on bare roots. So.
We are. Kay Havens, Master Gardener Kay Havens, and I are going to be broadcasting a show in January on that. So keep an eye out for that. And then we just have a few minutes left, right? Oh, just maybe like 2 minutes left. So just briefly about fertilizer, it's easy. Don't fertilize a lot this time of year.
How easy is that?
That's easy. So remember, we already talked about fertilizing your veggie garden. That is one place where you might want to fertilize. But other than that, a lot of plants' growth is slow and or they're dormant. So
they're not going to uptake it.
No, they're not going to uptake it.
So you're kind of wasting your money.
So just don't fertilize a lot this year.
Do other things this month.
And do a tiny bit of fertilizing in your veggie garden, and that's it. Yeah. So I think we're out of time, yes?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, it's been great again, Katrina. As usual, the hour sped by. So we wish everyone a very happy holiday season. Don't stress. Get out in your garden. Make use of that beautiful stuff that's out there and enjoy.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.